Terry Bollea, better known as Hulk Hogan, took the stand again today in a sex tape trial against Gawker Media. Now get past the tabloid element for a moment, because there are some interesting and important freedom of speech questions here. The former wrestler claims he was not aware that he was being recorded when he had sex with his ex-best friend's wife, and he says he was completely humiliated when the website Gawker published the video in 2012. For more on this, let's bring in NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
And give us more detail about the trial here and what's at stake.
Well, the trial is playing out right now in Florida. And it's more fodder, more grist for the tabloids. It couldn't be seamier in terms of the topic that provoked this suit. Hulk Hogan was outraged, or Bollea, as we call him in his real life, that Gawker did post an excerpt of what was an extensive sex tape at the home of a DJ in Florida named Bubba the Love Sponge, who has quite a following. Bollea was at that time having sex with Bubba the Love Sponge's wife, as alleged. And He took Gawker to a federal court to try to get them on a copyright infringement, had a number of rulings that were adverse to him, and took them then to court for invasion of privacy. The amazing thing, of course, is this courtroom proceeding that's happening right now in Florida, being live streamed by Gawker, is in a sense an invasion all over again, as Bollea has to relive this period and talk about not only the acts in question, but also his own truthfulness, his truthfulness about this, his truthfulness about what he did and said as a professional wrestler under the name Hulk Hogan, the name we really know him by.
Well, what is the argument by Gawker? Why isn't this an invasion of privacy? If Gawker did that to you, I assume that would be considered that. Is the fact that he's a public figure important?
The fact that he's a public figure is very important to Gawker's argument. The fact that it is true is very important to Gawker's argument. They say, you know, he has conceded, his lawyers have stipulated in court that he does not object to the discussion of the fact that there is a sex tape and that this has gotten out. It was discussed, for example, on the gossip site, celebrity site TMZ. It was then, I believe, out of business site, but there's a site called The Dirty that trafficked in gossip that posted some stills about this. Gawker took it a step further, and it included not only a long and detailed and in some ways very pornographic account of what the sex tape depicted, but actual footage. And as we know, video footage really changes our understanding of something. The question is whether that really changes the law. You know, you have something true that depicts something that got out. Gawker says that it obtained this anonymously in the mail, did not solicit it, did not ask for it, did not pay for it, and was not involved in the acquisition. But that it came in the mail to them. They said, well, it's true. It's in our hands. What is wrong under the First Amendment with publishing it, even as they do not deny in public that this is not a story of particular merit to our understanding of how the republic functions?
So what is at stake for the media in general? Why should NPR or The New York Times or The Wall Street Journal care about the outcome of this case?
Well, I think, you know, if you want to be a grown-up, you can think about this from two very different perspectives. If you're thinking about this from a legal perspective, the idea that a public figure can say what about his or her life you can publish or post and what you cannot is troubling, because even if one concedes this, I think most reasonable human beings would, that this isn't something that should be out there. This is not something he seems to have participated in encouraging the filming of. This is not something, a video that he wanted out there at all. He was not a pornographic actor. He should have a right for his sex, even if he regrets the activities later on. He has the right for that, in a sense, one would think, not to get out. But if you cede that right to individuals to do it, then suddenly news organizations and citizens are suddenly having taken away from them the right to publish what they want. There are consequences to what we publish in this country. That is, you know, if you libel somebody, you know, that is something that you face consequences for. But the idea that preemptively you can prevent somebody from doing that is really deeply problematic. That's where, you know, places like the NPR, the Wall Street Journal, blogs around the country might have real trepidation about that kind of ruling.
Well, David, the other interesting part of this story is Gawker. The attorney for Gawker told the jury that this kind of journalism is important. But this comes not long after Gawker took a lot of heat for a story it did about a chief financial officer of a media company. They outed that person. They removed that post. Two of the top editors at Gawker resigned in protest. And the founder of Gawker wrote that the site is no longer the, quote, insolent blog that began in 2003. So what's Gawker trying to be, just briefly?
Well, Gawker is a news and gossip site, and its whole notion was that it would be fearless. It would go without fear and favor and without access and therefore be able to take people down and be kind of a punitive place. And some of the emails are unflattering to the ways in which their journalists approach their job with a kind of callousness about it. At the same time, when you do things – when there's a nihilism attached to the idea that we can publish whatever we want simply right. because it's true. Maybe there should be a point to publishing. They say this isn't the story on which the law should infringe, that they have, you know, the facts on their side.
It's NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, thanks as always.
You bet.